59. Bondsmith. If this is to be permanent, then I wish to leave record of my husband and children. Was Mal as good a man as any woman could dream of loving? Kamakra and Molinar, the true gemstones of my life. From drawer 1215, Ruby. The Temple of Shalash, Penn said, gesturing as they entered. To Dalinar it looked much like the others she'd shown them, a large space with a high-domed ceiling and massive braziers. Here Ardens burned thousands of glyph wards for the people, who supplicated the Almighty for mercy and aid. Smoke pooled in the dome before leaking out through holes in the roof, like water through a sieve. How many prayers have we burned, Dalinar wondered uncomfortably, to a god who is no longer there, or is someone else receiving them instead? Dalinar nodded politely as Fenn recounted the ancient origin of the structure and listed some of the kings or queens who had been crowned here. She explained the significance of the elaborate design on the rear wall and led them around the sides to view the carvings. It was a pity to see several statues with the faces broken off. How had the storm gotten to them in here? When they were done, she led them back outside onto the royal ward where the palanquins waited. Navani nudged him. What? He asked softly. Stop scowling. I'm not scowling. You're bored. I'm not scowling. She raised an eyebrow. Six temples? He asked. This city is practically rubble, and we're looking at temples. Ahead, Fenn and her consort climbed into their palanquin. So far, Kamakal's only part in the tour had been to stand behind Fenn and, whenever she said something he thought significant, nod for her scribes to record it in the official histories. Kamakal didn't carry a sword. In Alethkar, that would indicate the man, at least one of his rank, was a shard-bearer, but that was not the case here. Thelena had only 5 blades and 3 suits of plate, each held by an ancient family line sworn to defend the throne. Couldn't Fenn have taken him on a tour to see those shards instead? Scowling, Navani said. It's what they expect of me, Dalinar said, nodding toward the Thelen officers and scribes. Near the front, one group of soldiers in particular had watched Dalinar with keen interest. Perhaps this tour's true intent was to give those light eyes a chance to study him. The palanquin he shared with Navani was scented like rockbud blossoms. The progression from temple to temple, Navani said softly as their bearers lifted the palanquin, is traditional in Thelen City. Visiting all 10 allows a survey of the royal ward and is a not-so-subtle reinforcement of the throne's Voren piety. They've had trouble with the church in the past.
I sympathize. Do you think if I explain I'm a heretic too, she'll stop with all the pomp?
Navani leaned forward in the small palanquin, putting her free hand on his knee. Dear one, if this kind of thing irks you so, we could send a diplomat.
I am a diplomat.
Dalinar.
This is my duty now, Navani. I have to do my duty. Every time I've ignored it in the past, something terrible has happened.
He took her hands in his.
I complain because I can be unguarded with you. I'll keep the scowling to a minimum, I promise.
As their porters skillfully carried them up some steps, Dalinar watched out the palanquin window. This upper section of the city had weathered the storm well enough, as many of the structures here were of thick stone. Still, some had cracked, and a few roofs had fallen in. The palanquin passed a fallen statue which had broken off at the ankles and toppled from a ledge toward the loft wards.
This city was hit harder than any I've had a report about, he thought. This level of destruction is unique. Is it just all that wood and the lack of anything to blunt the storm? Or is it more?
Some reports of the Everstorm mentioned no winds, only lightning. Others confusingly reported no rain, but burning embers. The Everstorm varied greatly, even within the same passing.
It's probably comforting for Fenn to do something familiar,
Navani told him quietly as the porters set them down at the next stop.
This tour is a reminder of days before the city suffered such terrors.
He nodded. With that in mind, it was easier to bear the thought of yet another temple. Outside, they found Fenn emerging from her palanquin.
The Temple of Beta, one of the oldest in the city. But of course, the greatest sight here is the simulacrum of Paralet, the grand statue that...
She trailed off, and Dalinar followed her gaze to the stone feet of the statue nearby.
Oh, right.
Let's see the temple, Dalinar urged. You said it's one of the oldest. Which are older?
Only Ishi's temple is more ancient, she said. But we won't linger there or here.
We won't? Dalinar asked, noticing the lack of prayer smoke from this roof.
Is the structure damaged?
The structure? No, not the structure.
A pair of tired Ardents emerged and walked down the steps, their robes stained with flecks of red. Dalinar looked to Fenn.
Do you mind if I go up anyway?
If you wish.
As Dalinar climbed the steps with Navani, he caught a scent on the wind, the scent of blood, which reminded him of battle. At the top, the sight inside the doors of the temple was a familiar one. Hundreds of wounded covered the marbled floor, lying on simple pallets, painspren reaching out like orange sinew hands between them.
We had to improvise, Fenn said, stepping up behind him in the doorway, after our traditional hospitals filled.
So many?
Navani said, safe hand to her mouth.
Can't some be sent home to heal, to their families?
Dalinar read the answers in the suffering people. Some were waiting to die. They'd bled internally, or had rampant infections marked by tiny red rotspren on their skin. Others had no homes left, evidenced by the families that huddled around a wounded mother, father, or child.
Storms.
Dalinar felt almost ashamed at how well his people had weathered the Everstorm. When he eventually turned to go, he almost ran into Taravangian, who haunted the doorway like a spirit. Frail, draped in soft robes, the aged monarch was weeping openly as he regarded the people in the temple.
Please,
he said.
Please. My surgeons are in Vedanar. An easy trip through the Oath Gates. Let me bring them. Let me ease this suffering.
Fenn pursed her lips to a thin line. She'd agreed to meet, but that didn't make her a part of Dalinar's proposed coalition. But what could she say to a plea like that?
Your help would be appreciated, she said.
Dalinar suppressed a smile. She'd conceded one step by letting them activate the Oath Gate. This was another one.
Taravangian, you are a gem.
Lend me a scribe and spanreed, Taravangian said. I will have my Radiant bring aid immediately.
Fenn gave the necessary orders, her consort nodding for the words to be recorded. As they walked back toward the palanquins, Taravangian lingered on the steps, looking out over the city.
Your Majesty?
Dalinar asked, pausing.
I can see my home in this, Bright Lord.
He put a trembling hand against the wall of the temple for support.
I blink bleary eyes and I see Carbranth destroyed in war. And I ask, what must I do to preserve them?
We will protect them, Taravangian. I vow it.
Yes. Yes, I believe you, Blackthorn.
He took a long, drawn-out breath and seemed to wilt further.
I think I shall remain here and await my surgeons. Please, go on.
Taravangian sat down on the steps as the rest of them walked away. At his palanquin, Dalinar looked back up and saw the old man sitting there, hands clasped before himself, liver-spotted head bowed, almost in the attitude of one kneeling before a burning prayer. Finn stepped up beside Dalinar. The white ringlets of her eyebrows shook in the wind.
"He is far more than people think of him, even after his accident. I've often said it."
Dalinar nodded.
"But," Finn continued, "he acts as if this city is a burial ground. That is not the case. We will rebuild from stone. My engineers plan to put walls on the front of each ward. We'll get our feet underneath us again. We just have to get ahead of the storm. It's the sudden loss of labor that really crippled us. Our parchment."
"My armies could do much to help clear rubble, move stones, and rebuild," Dalinar said. "Simply give the word and you will have access to thousands of willing hands."
Finn said nothing, though Dalinar caught muttered words from the young soldiers and attendants waiting beside the palanquins. Dalinar let his attention linger on them, picking out one in particular. Tall for a Thalen, the young man had blue eyes with eyebrows combed and starched straight back alongside his head. His crisp uniform was, naturally, cut in the Thalen style, with a shorter jacket that buttoned tight across the upper chest.
"That will be her son," Dalinar thought, studying the young man's features.
By Thalen tradition, he would be merely another officer, not the heir. The monarchy of the kingdom was not a hereditary position. Heir or not, this young man was important. He whispered something jeering, and the others nodded, muttering and glaring at Dalinar. Navani nudged Dalinar and gave him a questioning look. "Later," he mouthed, then turned to Queen Fen.
"So the Temple of Ishi is full of wounded as well?"
"Yes, perhaps we can skip that."
"I wouldn't mind seeing the lower wards of the city," Dalinar said. "Perhaps the Grand Bazaar I've heard so much about?"
Navani winced and Fen grew stiff.
"It was by the docks, then, was it?"
Dalinar said, looking out at the rubble-filled plain before the city. He'd assumed that it would have been in the ancient ward, the central part of the city. He should have paid better attention to those maps, apparently.
"I have refreshments set up at the courtyard of Telenalat," Ben said. "It was to be the last stop on our tour. Shall we go directly there now?"
Dalinar nodded, and they reboarded the palanquins. Inside, he leaned forward and spoke softly to Navani.
"Queen Fen is not an absolute authority. Even your brother wasn't absolutely powerful. But the Thalen monarch is worse. The councils of merchants and naval officers pick the new monarch, after all. They have great influence in the city."
"Yes? Where are you going with this?"
"It means she can't accede to my requests on her own," Dalinar said. "She can never agree to military aid as long as elements in the city believe that I'm bent on domination."
He found some nuts in an armrest compartment and began munching on them.
"We don't have time for a drawn-out political thaw," Navani said, waving for him to hand her some nuts. "Teshev might have family in the city she can lean on."
"We could try that. Or, I have an idea budding."
"Does it involve punching someone?"
He nodded, to which she sighed.
"They're waiting for a spectacle," Dalinar said. "They want to see what the Blackthorn will do. Queen Fen, she was the same way in the visions. She didn't open up to me until I gave her my honest face."
"Your honest face doesn't have to be that of a killer, Dalinar."
"I'll try not to kill anyone," he said. "I just need to give them a lesson, a display."
A lesson, a display. Those words caught in his mind, and he found himself reaching back through his memories towards something still fuzzy, undefined. Something to do with the rift and with Sadeus? The memory darted away just beneath the surface of his awareness. His subconscious shied from it, and he flinched like he'd been slapped. In that direction was pain.
Dalinar, Navani said, I suppose it's possible you're right. Perhaps the people seeing you be polite and calm is actually bad for our message.
More scowls, then? She sighed.
More scowls, he grinned.
Or a grin, she added. From you, one of those can be more disturbing. The courtyard of Talenalot was a large stone square dedicated to stone sinew, herald of soldiers. Atop a set of steps was the temple itself, but they didn't get a chance to look inside, for the main entrance had collapsed. A large rectangular stone block that had once spanned the top of the doorway rested wedged downward inside it. Beautiful reliefs covered the walls on the outside, depicting the herald Talenalot standing his ground alone against a tide of Voidbringers. Unfortunately, these had cracked in hundreds of places. A large black scorch at the top of the wall showed where the strange Everstorm lightning had blasted the building. None of the other temples had fared this poorly. It was as if Odium had a grudge against this one in particular.
Talenalot, Dalinar thought. He was the one they abandoned, the one I lost.
I have some business to attend to, Fenn said. With trade to the city disrupted so seriously, I haven't much to offer as victuals. Some nuts and fruit, some salted fish. We've laid them out for you to enjoy. I'll return later so we can conference. In the meantime, my attendants will see to your needs.
Thank you, Dalinar said.
They both knew she was making him wait on purpose. It wouldn't be long, maybe a half hour. Not enough to be an insult, but enough to establish that she was still the authority here, no matter how powerful he was. Even though he wanted some time with her people, he found himself annoyed at the gamesmanship of it. Fenn and her consort withdrew, leaving most of the rest behind to enjoy the repast. Dalinar instead decided to pick a fight. Fenn's son would do. He did appear the most critical among those talking.
I don't want to seem the aggressor, Dalinar thought, positioning himself close to the young man. And I should pretend I haven't guessed who he is.
The temples were nice, Navani said, joining him. But you didn't enjoy them, did you? You wish to see something more militaristic.
An excellent opening.
You are right, he said. You there, Captain Lord. I'm not one for dallying. Show me the city's wall. That is something of real interest.
Are you serious?
Fenn's son said in Thalen-accented Alethi, words all mashed together.
Always. What, are your armies in such bad shape that you'd be embarrassed to let me see them?
I'm not going to let an enemy general inspect our defenses.
I'm not your enemy, son.
I'm not your son, tyrant.
Dalinar made a big show of looking resigned.
You've been shadowing me this entire day, soldier, speaking words that I've chosen not to hear. You're close to a line that, if crossed, will earn a response.
The young man paused, showing some measure of restraint. He weighed what he was getting himself into and decided that the risk was worth the reward. Humiliate the Blackthorn here, and maybe he could save his city. At least as he saw it.
I regret only, the man snapped, that I didn't speak loudly enough for you to hear the insults, despot.
Dalinar sighed loudly, then began unbuttoning his uniform jacket, leaving himself in the snug undershirt.
No shards, the young man said. Long swords.
As you wish.
Fenn's son didn't have shards, though he could have borrowed them if Dalinar insisted. Dalinar preferred this anyway. The man covered his nervousness by demanding one of his attendants use a rock to draw a ring on the ground. Ryol and Dalinar's guards approached, anticipation spren whipping nervously in their wakes. Dalinar waved them back. Don't hurt him, Navani whispered. She hesitated. But don't lose, either.
I'm not going to hurt him, Dalinar said, handing her his jacket. I can't promise the part about losing. She didn't see, but of course she didn't. He couldn't simply beat this man up. All that would do was prove to the rest of them that Dalinar was a bully. He strode to the ring and paced it off to memorize how many steps he could take without being forced out.
I said long swords, the young man said, weapon in hand. Where's your sword?
We'll do this by alternating advantage. 3 minutes, Dalinar said. To first blood. You may lead off.
The young man froze. Alternating advantage. The youth would have 3 minutes armed against Dalinar unarmed. If Dalinar survived without being bloodied or leaving the ring, he'd have 3 minutes against his opponent in the reverse. Dalinar armed, the young man unarmed. It was a ridiculous imbalance, usually only seen in sparring practice when men trained for situations where they might be unarmed against an armed foe. And then you'd never use real weapons. The young man said.
I'll switch to a knife.
No need. Long sword is fine.
The young man gaped at Dalinar.
Songs and stories told of the heroic unarmed man facing down many armed opponents, but in truth, fighting a single armed foe was incredibly difficult.
Fenn's son shrugged.
As much as I'd love to be known as the man who bested the Blackthorn on even terms, he said, I'll take an unfair fight. But have your men here swear an oath that if this goes poorly for you, I'll not be named an assassin. You yourself set these terms.
Done, Dalinar said, looking to Ryle and the others who saluted and said the words. A Thalen scribe stood to witness the bout. She counted off the start, and the young man came for Dalinar immediately, swinging like he meant it. Good. If you are going to agree to a fight like this, you shouldn't hesitate. Dalinar dodged, then dropped into a wrestling stance, though he didn't intend to get close enough to try for a hold. As the scribe counted off the time, Dalinar continued to dodge attacks, hovering around the outside of the ring, careful not to step over the line. Fenn's son, though aggressive, displayed some innate wariness. The young man probably could have forced Dalinar out, but he kept testing instead. He came in again, and Dalinar scrambled away from the flashing sword. The young man grew concerned and frustrated. Perhaps if it had been cloudy, he would have seen the faint glow of the stormlight Dalinar was holding. As the countdown drew near the end, the young man grew more frantic. He knew what was coming. 3 minutes alone in a ring, unarmed against the Blackthorn. The attacks strayed from hesitant to determined to desperate.
All right, Dalinar thought. Just about now.
The countdown hit 10. The young man came at him with a last-ditch, all-out assault. Dalinar stood up, relaxed, and held his hands to the sides so that the audience could see him intentionally fail to dodge. Then he stepped into the young man's thrust. The longsword hit him right in the chest, just to the left of his heart. Dalinar grunted at the impact and the pain, but managed to take the sword in a way that it missed the spine. Blood filled one of his lungs, and stormlight rushed to heal him. The young man looked aghast, as if, despite everything, he hadn't expected or wanted to land such a decisive blow. The pain faded. Dalinar coughed, spat blood to the side, then took the young man's hand by the wrist, shoving the sword farther through his chest. The young man released the sword hilt and scrabbled backward, eyes bulging.
That was a good thrust, Dalinar said, voice watery and ragged. I could see how worried you were at the end. Others might have let their form suffer.
The queen's son dropped to his knees, staring up as Dalinar stepped closer and loomed over him. Blood seeped around the wound, staining his shirt until the stormlight finally had time to heal the external cuts. Dalinar drew in enough that he glowed even in the daylight. The courtyard had grown silent. Scribes held their mouths aghast. Soldiers put hands on swords, Shockspren, like yellow triangles, shattering around them. Nabani shared a sly smile with him, arms folded. Dalinar took the sword by the hilt and slid it from his chest. Stormlight rushed to heal the wound. To his credit, the young man stood up and stammered,
"It's your turn, Blackthorn. I'm ready."
"No, you blooded me."
"You let me."
Dalinar took off his shirt and tossed it at the youth.
"Give me your shirt, and we'll call it even."
The youth caught the bloody shirt, then looked up at Dalinar in befuddlement.
"I don't want your life, son," Dalinar said. "I don't want your city or your kingdom. If I'd wanted to conquer Thelena, I wouldn't offer you a smiling face and promises of peace. You should know that much from my reputation."
He turned to the watching officers, light eyes, and scribes. He'd accomplished his goal. They were in awe of him, afraid. He had them in his hand. It was shocking, then, to feel his own sudden, stark displeasure. For some reason, those frightened faces hit him harder than the sword had. Angry, ashamed for a reason he still didn't understand, he turned and strode away up the steps from the courtyard toward the temple above. He waved away Navani when she came to speak with him. Alone. He needed a moment alone. He climbed to the temple, then turned and sat down on the steps, putting his back against the stone block that had fallen into the doorway. The Stormfather rumbled in the back of his mind, and beyond that sound was disappointment. What had he just accomplished? He said he didn't want to conquer this people, but what story did his actions tell? "I'm stronger than you," they said. "I don't need to fight you. I could crush you without exerting myself." Was that what it should feel like to have the Knights Radiant come to your city? Dalinar felt a twisting nausea deep in his gut. He'd performed stunts like this dozens of times throughout his life, from recruiting Teleb back in his youth to bullying Elokar into accepting that Dalinar wasn't trying to kill him, to more recently forcing Kadash to fight him in the practice chamber. Below, people gathered around Fenn's son, talking animatedly. The young man rubbed his chest as if he'd been the one who'd been struck. In the back of Dalinar's mind, he heard that same insistent voice, the one he'd heard from the beginning of the visions. "Unite them."
"I'm trying," Dalinar whispered. Why couldn't he ever convince anyone peacefully? Why couldn't he get people to listen without first pounding them bloody or conversely shocking them with his own wounds?
He sighed, leaning back and resting his head against the stones of the broken temple.
"Unite us, please."
That was a different voice. 100 of them overlapping, making the same plea so quiet he could barely hear them.
He closed his eyes, trying to pick out the source of those voices.
Stone? Yes. He had a sensation of chunks of stone in pain.
Dalinar started. He was hearing the spren of the temple itself. These temple walls had existed as a single unit for centuries. Now the pieces, cracked and ruined, hurt. They still viewed themselves as a beautiful set of carvings, not a ruined facade with fallen chunks scattered about. They longed to again be a single entity, unmarred. The spren of the temple cried with many voices, like men weeping over their broken bodies on a battlefield.
"Storms. Does everything I imagine have to be about destruction? About dying, broken bodies, smoke in the air, and blood on the stones?"
The warmth inside of him said that it did not. He stood and turned, full of stormlight, and seized the fallen stone that blocked the doorway. Straining, he shifted the block until he could slip in, squatting, and press his shoulders against it. He took a deep breath, then heaved upward. Stone ground stone as he lifted the block toward the top of the doorway. He got it high enough, then positioned his hands immediately over his head. With a final push, shouting, he pressed with legs, back, and arms together, shoving the block upward with everything he had. Stormlight raged inside him, and his joints popped, then healed, as he inched the stone back into place above the doorway. He could feel the temple urging him onward. It wanted so badly to be whole again. Dalinar drew in more stormlight, as much as he could hold, draining every gemstone he'd brought. Sweat streaming across his face, he got the block close enough that it felt right again. Power flooded through his arms into it, then seeped across the stones. The carvings popped back together. The stone lintel in his hands lifted and settled into place. Light filled the cracks in the stones and knit them back together, and glory spren burst around Dalinar's head. When the glow faded, the front wall of the majestic temple, including the doorway and the cracked reliefs, had been restored. Dalinar faced it, shirtless and coated in sweat, feeling 20 years younger. No, the man he'd been 20 years ago could never have done this. Bondsmith. A hand touched his arm. Nabani's soft fingers.
Dalinar, what did you do?
I listened. The power was good for far, far more than breaking. We've been ignoring that. We've been ignoring answers right in front of our eyes.
He looked back over his shoulder at the crowd climbing the steps, gathering around.
You, Dalinar said to a scribe.
You're the one who wrote to Yirithiru and sent for Terra Vengeance surgeons?
Yes, Bright Lord, she said.
Write again. Send for my son, Renarin.
Queen Fen found him in the courtyard of the Temple of Bata, the one with the large broken statue. Her son, now wearing Dalinar's bloodied shirt tied around his waist like some kind of girdle, led a crew of 10 men with ropes. They'd just gotten the hips of the statue settled back into place. Dalinar drained stormlight from borrowed spheres, sealing the stone together.
I think I've found the left arm,
a man called from below, where the bulk of the statue had toppled through the roof of a mansion. Dalinar's team of soldiers and light eyes whooped and rushed down the steps.
I did not expect to find the Blackthorn shirtless, Queen Fen said. And playing sculptor?
I can only fix inanimate things, Dalinar said, wiping his hands on a rag tied at his waist, exhausted.
Using this much stormlight was a new experience for him and quite draining.
My son does the more important work.
A small family left the temple above. Judging by the father's tentative steps, supported by his sons, it seemed the man had broken a leg or two in the most recent storm. The burly man gestured for his sons to step back, took a few steps on his own, and then, his eyes wide, did a short skip. Dalinar knew that feeling, the lingering effects of stormlight.
I should have seen it earlier. I should have sent for him the moment I saw those wounded. I'm a fool.
Dalinar shook his head.
Renarin has the ability to heal. He is new to his powers, as I am to mine, and can best heal those who were recently wounded. I wonder if it's similar to what I'm doing. Once the soul grows accustomed to the wound, it's much harder to fix.
A single awe-spren burst around Fen as the family approached, bowing and speaking in Thalen, the father grinning like a fool. For a moment, Dalinar felt he could almost understand what they were saying, as if a part of him were stretching to bond to the man. A curious experience, one he didn't quite know how to interpret. When they left, Dalinar turned to the queen.
I don't know how long Renarin will hold out, and I don't know how many of those wounds will be new enough for him to fix, but it is something we could do.
Men called below, heaving a stone arm out through the window of the mansion.
I see you've charmed Kadralk as well, Fen noted.
He's a good lad, Dalinar said.
He was determined to find a way to duel you. I hear you gave him that.
You're going to roll over this whole city, charming each person in turn, aren't you?
Hopefully not. That sounds like it would take a lot of time.
A young man came running down from the temple, holding a child with floppy hair, who, though his clothing was torn and dusty, was smiling with a broad grin. The youth bowed to the queen, then thanked Dalinar and Broken Alethi. Renarin kept blaming the healings on him. Fen watched them go with an unreadable expression on her face.
"I need your help, Fen," Dalinar whispered.
"I find it hard to believe you need anything, considering what you've done today."
"Shardbearers can't hold ground."
She looked at him, frowning.
"Sorry. That's a military maxim. Never mind. Fen, I have Radiance, yes. But they, no matter how powerful, won't win this war. More importantly, I can't see what I'm missing. That's why I need you. I think like an Alethi, as do most of my advisors. We consider the war, the conflict, but miss important facts. When I first learned of Renarin's powers, I thought only of restoring people on the battlefield to continue the fight. I need you. I need the Azish. I need a coalition of leaders who see what I don't, because we're facing an enemy that doesn't think like any we've faced before."
He bowed his head to her.
"Please, join me, Fen."
"I've already opened that gate, and I'm talking to the councils about giving aid to your war effort. Isn't that what you wanted?"
"Not close, Fen. I want you to join me."
"The difference is the distinction between referring to it as your war and our war." "You're relentless."
She took a deep breath, then cut him off as he tried to object.
"I suppose that is what we need right now. All right, Blackthorn. You, me, Taravangian. The first real united Vorin coalition the world has seen since the Hierocracy. It's unfortunate that two of us lead kingdoms that are in ruin."
"Three," Dalinar said with a grunt. "Kolinar is besieged by the enemy. I've sent help, but for now Alethkar is an occupied kingdom."
"Wonderful. Well, I think I can persuade the factions in my city to let your troops come and help here. If everything goes well with that, I will write to the Prime of Aesir. Maybe that will help."
"I'm certain it will. Now that you've joined the Azish, Oathgate is the most essential to our cause."
"Well, they're going to be tricky," Fen said. "The Azish aren't as desperate as I am, and frankly, they aren't Vorin. People here, myself included, respond to a good push from a determined monarch. Strength and passion, the Vorin way. But those tactics will just make the Azish dig in and rebuff you harder."
He rubbed his chin. "Do you have any suggestions?"
"I don't think you'll find it very appealing."
"Try me," Dalinar said. "I'm starting to appreciate that the way I usually do things has severe limitations."